This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back, everyone, to Wells Tech. This is episode 438 for Tuesday, March 29th. And my name is Sally Draper. I'm one of the regular co-hosts of the podcast. You might recognize right away that we are missing someone, and that would be Martin Spriggs, who normally introduces the show. Martin's our Wells Chief Technology Officer, and we let him have a week of vacation this week. Not sure if we'll do that again in the future or not, but for now, he's off enjoying himself somewhere in warmer climates, and we're happy that he's getting that break. But I knew that you guys wouldn't want to listen to just me all by myself, so I recruited a little bit of sunshine from out west, and that would be in the form of our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, Jason Schmidt. Good afternoon, Jason.
Hey, Sally. How are you doing?
I am awesome. How about you?
Oh, my gosh. I've been swimming the past couple of weeks here, but we're going to make it through and muddle, and it's going to be all right.
Awesome. We know we can always count on you, Jason. You got good stuff to share no matter what the circumstances. Your immediate circumstances are you just moved this past weekend to a brand new house. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. And yeah, even better, I missed most of the move. So
awesome. And that's going to tie right into our discussion, because you had a really good excuse to miss actually moving your family across town. And that was that you were at an exciting robotics competition.
Yeah, I was. I got to take a group of our high school kids. We had eight of them this year. Out to Cedar Falls, Iowa. So it's about a four-hour drive for us to University of Northern Iowa, and participated in a robotics competition, which was pretty awesome. Awesome experience, so much fun. And you know, I'm sure we'll, you know, that fits in with our topic that we're going to be talking about today. So I'll hold back a little bit, you know, just because I know we need to have a little bit of structure. It's not a total free for all.
I don't know. Yeah. Martin's not here. We could do whatever we want.
Yeah, we sure could.
Anything goes. Anyway,
you know what? He'd probably just clip it and make it go in the right order, so it'd be fine.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So we did want to spend some time today talking about educational technology and specifically focusing on robotics, which ties in really nicely with coding, which is a big push in education technology currently. So maybe that's a good place to start is, you know, why exactly educators are interested in robotics and, you know, what kind of things are going on in that space in terms of, you know, development and educational spectrum. Because I think, you know, if we were having this conversation 5 or 10 years ago, robotics really wasn't a player in any school vision for their curriculum.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the thing, so, you know, if you go back in time a little bit, it was, you know, anytime you talk about robotics, you think, you know, immediately, like you get the, you know, on the cartoons where, you know, the eyes start flipping over and over and over and over, and then they just stop on the big dollar signs. It's really expensive. And I think part of the reason that this has gained in so much popularity recently is because the costs have come way down. You can get a really nice, functional, easy to use robot that you can program for about $50. Which is, you know, incredible. That same thing could have cost you $500 before. So, you know, the technology has gotten that much better. It's much more accessible. But, you know, when we talk about robotics in the classroom, I mean, one of the things that's really compelling about it is that you hit a whole bunch of different, really, really hot topics in education when you're talking about robotics. So, you know, not only, as you mentioned, not only is it coding, but, you know, it's also problem-based learning and problem solving and critical thinking and collaboration. You know, you're getting all of these really hugely, you know, a real world applicable kinds of things that the kids are doing. And the really great thing about it is you trick them into learning with it, you know, because it's so fun and the kids just love it and they eat this up, you know, that you can tap into that enthusiasm and really just, you know, really just build on the natural kind of enthusiasm and curiosity that kids have. You don't have to try hard, because they just, you know, they want to figure this stuff out. And, you know, it's just an amazing time to be alive. You know, with all of these things.
That was one of the thoughts I had, man, I wish I was a kid again so I could be part of this, but you hit on a lot of really, practical things that we're trying to introduce more and more in education. That collaboration, for instance, when you're working on robotics, there's all kinds of jobs to do. And I can just relate. I actually just came out of a 3-hour team meeting, and that's pretty intense for us. Normally our meetings don't go more than an hour. So 3 hours with my teammates, chipping away at a project and how we wanted to attack it and how we could all take our strengths into consideration, our different skill sets, and make this a much better project because of bringing all those different things to the table. That's directly demonstrated as you work on robotics teams and design things and, you know, plan the coding associated, maybe work on the actual mechanics of it and building it and things like that. So lots of different skill sets involved, lots of communication and collaboration required. So I definitely could see a win-win-win kind of scenario with robotics in the classroom.
Yeah. And, you know, and one of the hardest things about it is it takes a huge amount of time. Mm-hmm. And that would be one of the, you know, and just like anything, you know, you really have to focus and dig in on it if you're going to reap the benefits of doing something like this.
So how did you guys do it, Jason? Did you have after school time, or when did you meet to make this happen?
So for our competition, in order to build our robot, we had a 6-week build window. And once we got to the end of that 6 weeks, we had to stop working on it. We couldn't do any more. And ours was a little extreme. So the competition that we did was FIRST Robotics. And essentially back in January, we went to a kickoff meeting with 40 other teams, and we showed up at this kickoff. They told us what the game was going to be, what's the challenge. And then they gave us a couple of boxes and said, build a robot. So that was pretty much what we had to go on, which, as you can guess, was incredibly challenging. And for us especially, this was our first year, so we had no clue what we were getting ourselves into, as to how we would do this. So our meetings, we met outside of school, because this isn't a part of our curriculum right now. So our meetings were after school. We met from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, sometimes 9, 10 o'clock, depending on what was going on. And we started out 4 days a week, and then we went to 5 days a week.
Oh, wow.
And then we went the last 2 weeks before build season ended, we met every single night.
Wow.
You know, depending on, and you know, the time of day changed, but anywhere from 2 to 4 or 5 hours a day, working on this robot. And you know, it came out with not a very impressive machine. it drove, it worked, which was really good. But you know, we didn't get anywhere near the number of things done that we would have liked to do. But you know, for our first time around, it was incredibly difficult, but it was so much fun. Kids had a blast.
Yeah. All 40 teams then ended up in central northern Iowa, whatever, and put your robots to a test.
So on that website that you were showing just a little bit ago, the challenge this year was called FIRST Stronghold. So it's kind of a medieval castle kind of a theme, where, you know, you have these different kinds of obstacles that your robot had to be able to cross and pass. And then you could shoot balls into a low goal or a high goal. And, you know, and then score points based off of that. And then at the end of the game, you can surround the tower and scale the tower. So if you figure out a way to scale the tower, then you get additional bonus points for something like that. And, oh, I forgot to mention, the first 25 seconds of every match is autonomous. So you have to run a program on your robot in order to have it accomplish things, and it's completely hands-off. They have a line where the drivers stand behind the line, and they can't move. So, you know, it's just crazy the kinds of things that, you know, that people were doing. I mean, we had teams at this event that, you know, they would go into autonomous mode, and the robot would basically, you know, they'd do the buzzer, they'd start everybody's programs, they'd cross the obstacle, find the target, shoot, make a goal, turn around, get another ball, turn around again, and shoot twice. It was ridiculous. Absolutely crazy. So, you know, they scored 50 points in 25 seconds because they did, you know, and they had, and everybody, had, they only had these things tuned so that they could do those kinds of things. And, you know, it was just crazy. You know, some of the things that these kids were doing, you know, so it's just, if you have the chance to attend an FRC regional, they're just so cool. I would recommend it to anybody.
Qualifying rounds and teams were matched up together, and ultimately it turned into a final tournament with the best teams competing. And then do they move on to like a national tournament from there?
Yeah, so they're in the Midwest. We only have regionals because we don't have enough teams. But up in the Northeast, where this whole thing started, they have districts, and then from the districts they go to regionals, and then it's the other way around. It's regionals, and then they go to districts, and then after that they have the national competition, which is the end of April, and that's going to be that's always in St. Louis.
Okay, so quite an event. It was live streamed, and obviously lots of people involved. One thing I read about was the website indicated anybody that wants to be on the team is allowed on the team, you know, so it's very open to lots of contributors. And how many did you have with you in your group? Did you say that?
We brought 8.
Okay.
And we had 14 kids on the team. Six of them couldn't make it. To go down to the regional. And, you know, you're exactly right. You know, one of their big tagline, their motto is it's more than robotics. So, you know, they're focusing more on, you know, the culture that you can develop around these kinds of things. So, you know, at the competitions, one of the big things is called gracious professionalism, which is essentially, you know, this is not a competition. This is, you know, it's like a sport, but we're really in this together. And, you know, it's about learning, and it's about building life skills, and it's about communicating and talking to other people and using resources, wisely, and, you know, all of these things. You know, give you an example, there was our bot wasn't completely finished. So, you know, we were working on it in our pit, you know, and we were, you know, cause we had an entire day before the qualifying events where we could work on our robot and do some scouting and things like that. And, you know, we were working on our robot, and another team came over, and they're like, "Hey guys, what you doing? You know, what's going on? You guys a rookie team?" And we're like, "Yeah, we have no clue what we're doing." and they're like, "Well, you know, tell us about your robot. What do you guys do?" And, you know, so we kind of explained what it was we were trying to do and how we were trying to do it. And they said, you know what? You know, it looks like the motors that you have on there are underpowered. You know, let's get our hardware guy and our electronics guy to come over here, and, you know, we've got a part you can use for the tournament, and, awesome. You know, do all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, and we ended up playing against them in a match later on. So, you know, and that's everybody does that. you know, they're, you know, we had multiple people just come up and say, hey, you know, you guys, what you guys need anything, just let us know. You know, you're missing a part, we'll get it for you. If you're, you know, you need PVC pipe, you know, hey, let's get that. Your cable, wiring, whatever you got, we'll pull it out of our stuff. And, you know, you guys, you want to borrow a drill press? We got one of those, you know, we got it set up in our pits right now. So,
wow.
You know, it was just amazing. You know, the culture around the whole thing was just so, you know, it's like going to an ed camp, if you've ever been to an ed camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's just so willing to share and help and, you know, do whatever they can to help you be successful. And you really just can see it in the culture of the organization and of the event.
So I have the website up again. Let me just press the right button. So I noticed that they have this robotics competition. That's kind of the crowning program to be a part of, but they start really young with Junior Lego League and Lego League and Tech Challenges. And so if you just explore the firstinspire.org site, you might want to get involved in some of these things. They give you ideas for how to start a team and what's required and how to be a part of the program and stuff. But there's lots of other resources out there. Maybe you want to start smaller than actually jumping right into FIRST and all of their competitions and things, and just start with some robot ideas and building them in your school setting or whatever. So I did a quick search on Pinterest, of course, because that's where I always turn, found tons of ideas for doing robot type activities in the classroom. And there's more than just Pinterest out there. There's articles about starting maker spaces. That's kind of the shop environment where you might build these kind of things or allow people to students to have the creativity. And maker spaces in schools are becoming more and more common. So there's all kinds of neat guidelines and ideas around that as well. And then there's lots of kits and things that you can buy, like and I don't know which of these you might have experience with, Jason. I've read about Little Bits, which is kind of a STEAM oriented package that you can buy with different electronics. Certainly Lego's Mindstorms, I think it's called, comes with the electronics and things to build Lego type items that'll function as robots. There's also Dash and Dot. I don't know if you're familiar with Dash and Dot, Jason, but
yeah, Dash and Dot are super fun. They're really, they you can make them sing, you can make them dance, they can run around, and yeah, they're really cool. Dash and Dot are some of my, those are one of my favorite ones for little guys.
And they're pretty affordable to get started with. Like if you just started with Dot, I think it's maybe $50 or something. Mm-hmm. So not outlandish. Like you said at the beginning, you know, the price has definitely come down. A couple that you tagged as well from MakeBlock, there's the MBot.
Yes.
Do you have experience with MBot?
So MBot is actually what we're, our robotics team is going to do a camp this summer, and we're going to use these. So it's the same kind of concept that we have for, well, it's much more structured than what we do, because you actually get directions. It's, you get a bunch of parts and you got to put the thing together. And there are things that, you know, you can do to interchange different pieces for it and things like that. And then you got to write a program. So, you know, and it's real simple. The program you can do it two different ways. You can either use their programming language that's based off of Scratch,
mm-hmm.
or you can just write it using Arduino calls. So, you know, if you want to do a visual or text-based, you can do that. But, you know, I got a couple of them for our robotics kids just to see, you know, what they thought of them. And they're really super easy to put together, really easy to use, very engaging and not very expensive. You can get I think this website has them for $75, Monoprice also sells them. And I think Monoprice has them on sale for $65. $4.99. So
awesome.
So, you know, definitely, definitely worth looking at if you're looking into this kind of thing. And the other thing that I really like about the MBOT is that it's an open architecture. So as long as you have something that can plug into those pins, it just uses the same kind of thing that we use in our big robot. You have three wires. You have a ground, a signal, and a power. And they just plug in these little pins. They plug into an interface, and if you can write a program to say, go here and look at this and make it do this, it'll do it. So,
awesome.
The possibilities with that are endless for the kinds of things that you can do with it.
So you're planning a summer camp for what age level?
Well, we're going to do two of them. We'll have one for grades 3 to 5, and we'll have one for grades 6 to 8.
Cool.
And the older kids are going to get a little bit more challenging task. We might go thinking about tossing around doing not necessarily a battle bots, but set up different challenges for them so that they can take remote control and we'll have a similar kind, we'll set up a field and have them, do an autonomous mode and kind of similar to what we do with our competition.
Awesome. So, all right. A couple of more to mention. CodyBot, a new robot who teaches coding. And this looks like a Kickstarter project.
It is. And, this morning when I posted the link, that Kickstarter had zero backers and $0. So
they've
raised $53,000 in, less than 12 hours. And, the cool thing about that one is that's actually made by that's made by MakeBlock. So it's the same company that does the MBOT.
Uh-huh.
But the cool thing about this one is that it focuses more on the coding aspect rather than the robot building aspect of it. But it's got a laser that you can put on top, mm-hmm. and you can have laser fights and all kinds of cool stuff. So, that was something I knew it was coming. Like, I had pre-release information on it. But now that it's been announced, I can actually talk about it,
cool.
which is really cool.
Very fun. And we've talked about before on the show, Raspberry Pis. Raspberry Pi mm-hmm. even has, education type resources out there. So if you want to use it in the classroom, there's links here where you can teach with it and use the Raspberry Pi in education. They have a Pi Academy. They have all kinds of things related to Raspberry Pi and Makey Makey, where you can plug the device into things like bananas and get input from it by completing the circuit, basically. And so lots of different options and tools out there for you to consider if you wanted to bring some of this kind of robotics/coding into the classroom. So good stuff. I'm super excited that we got to capitalize on your experience. And it looks like you even gave us a little video link. Is it perhaps to the winners from this past weekend or something like that?
Oh yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah. Can I just talk about these guys for a little bit? It just blew everybody away. They won an award for their robot. It's just crazy. But you talk about the engineering and the hardware and the software and all that kind of stuff that goes along with it. This team was able to build a robot that it automatically acquired the target, which isn't a big deal because a lot of people do that. But theirs was tuned so well that not only would they find the target, but then they also had a rotating top on their shooter so that they never missed. They missed twice the entire tournament, which, is just ridiculous. It's unheard of that that it would be that accurate. And it was just so elegantly designed and engineered. It was just super cool. So yeah, throw that link in the show notes or, Yeah, exactly. Well, and the thing is, watching the matches, it almost got boring because you're just like, oh, okay, there they are again. They're going to go and they're going to shoot it 25 times and make it every time. And it's going to be 4,000 to 6. And, you know, and they're going to climb the tower at the end. We just know that this is going to happen. I don't even know if they need to drive this thing. You know, they could honestly, they should have taken like one of their wheels off just so everybody else had a chance. And, you know, they still probably would have won, but, you know, it's just, yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
It reminds me, Jason, that if you wanted to do this kind of thing in your school or in your area, maybe a group of schools together or at a high school level or whatever, I am guessing there's some engineering type parents out there that would get serious, you know, thrills out of helping the team and, you know, refining some of those settings and things like you're saying, making it even that much better. So look for those kind of people to volunteer to support your team or your efforts to bring robotics into the classroom.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's one of the things that they really, that organization really encourages you to do, is to reach out to your community and reach out to your parents and get some additional engineers in there. I'm super excited. We've got a lady moving to our district. She's got nieces or grandchildren that are coming up in our district, and she's going to be moving here soon. And she's one of the project leads for the Mars rover. So I'm super excited. And I've already talked to her about this, and she said, yeah, I'm in. Just wait till I just got to retire from NASA and then I'll be there.
Oh my goodness. So there you go. Engage those NASA engineers in your
exactly.
Without a doubt. So good stuff, Jason. Thanks very much for sharing your experience. I'll look forward to watching that video of this amazing team that you described. So that's robotics in the classroom. We should probably move on and take care of the rest of this mind map that we have planned out here. And our next normal segment on Wells Tech is News in Tech. And I came across an article and was really intrigued. Actually, the headline here doesn't do it justice, but when I was reading the teaser headline, it said, "Find out what Consumer Reports says is the top smartphone." And I thought, well, surely they're going to say the iPhone, you know, that's just my assumption. And I was surprised when they said Samsung's new Galaxy S7. Consumer Reports just released raving reviews of the Galaxy. I don't know if you're familiar with this new version of the Galaxy, but apparently it's waterproof. That they even have a video of a guy taking it underwater here to test it out. But, you know, has amazing screen resolution and really great video at 4K or Ultra HD. The files are huge, but you have a micro SD slot for memory cards, so it's not an issue. The battery life, longer than 24 hours, which is amazingly impressive, twice the iPhone 6S. And they say better speakers, so louder and crisper volume, things like that. So I don't think they found anything to complain about, in this article at least, regarding the Samsung Galaxy S7. So if you're in the market for a smartphone, perhaps you want to consider it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm still rocking my OnePlus One.
Oh, you are, and that's going well for you. That's the Google.
It's OnePlus.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Very good. All right. Next up, Wells Now. And actually, this is from our friends at Gospel Outreach with Media, which is an ELS effort hosted by Christ and Media Institute from Bethany Lutheran College. We talked about Gospel Outreach with Media, GOWM.org, and it is now open. It is an online conference running for this week and two more following, so it'll wrap up April 17th. Basically, what they've done is they've recruited a lot of really great experts in all different fields around gospel outreach with media. So the message, using mobile devices and outreach, reaching out to community from congregation and school, expanding approaches to gospel outreach with media, and encouraging the needed talent. So all these different people have contributed thoughts in the form of written narratives. Some of them have video or PowerPoints attached or whatever it may be. You can go here, you can read what they have to say on a particular topic, and then once you're there, there's the opportunity to engage in conversation around it. So examples where they have images, videos, all kinds of things. And then you can leave comments related to the topic and have the conversation there on the Gospel Outreach with Media website. So it's officially open. We are excited to watch the progress there and participate in it. And we'd certainly encourage our Wells Tech audience to be part of this online conference as well. Completely free to you to participate. So, all right. I think it's time then for our picks of the week. And Jason, you're our guest. I would love it if you would share your pick of the week with our audience.
Absolutely. So this is something that you guys have talked about before. My pick of the week is the Expeditions from Google, using Google Cardboard. So, I'm sure people are familiar with it, or regular listeners. But if you're not, this uses Google's really inexpensive virtual reality system called Google Cardboard. And then that allows you to use your phone or anything like that as a piece of virtual reality equipment, very inexpensive and really easy to use. You can sign up to have them bring an expedition to your school, which is a teacher facilitated kind of a virtual field trip. But if you go to this website, you can scroll all the way down to the bottom, and you can sign up to test the Expeditions Android app. So if you fill out an application and you're accepted, what you do is you get access to the Expeditions app that you can then install on Android devices that you would like to use it on. So I have a screenshot of the Expeditions teacher view. So this right here, we can guess. Sally, I'm going to assume you know that this is the TARDIS, right? You're
sure.
A Doctor Who fan.
Sure.
So this is a screenshot of something from in the app. So the teacher tablet has control, and if you look over here on the over towards the right hand side, you see that little smiley face?
I see that.
That's actually where a student is looking. So not only is the teacher in control of the different content that's on there, but they can also monitor and see where it is that students are looking. And if they need to get somebody's attention, then they just say, "Hey, I need your attention. Somebody's not looking. Who is it?" And then you can see, if everybody's supposed to be going at this circle, then you know where they're looking. And if they're not looking where the circle is, then they get a little arrow on their viewfinder that tells them where they need to be rotating their head and their body in order to be able to see it. Just really cool the kinds of things that you can do with this. And then, if you look over on the right hand side, this is just a screenshot that I took off of my tablet. But you can pause the tour. So it basically turns off the student devices and it freezes them, and it said, "Look at the teacher." And then, so that's the prompt to put your glasses down. We want to have a face-to-face conversation. But then you can open it up again, and then there are little, there are little notes that you can click on. You get a side menu that says, okay, if you tell them to look at this thing and then you tap on it, it puts the circle on that point. And then, you've got some information to share with them, and use that as a framework for the discussion. So really, really super cool. If you have the chance to experience Google Cardboard and virtual reality and stuff like that using that platform, really neat, really simple, and very powerful. Lots of really interesting applications for something like this. So that's my pick.
That's awesome, Jason. Thanks for taking us inside the TARDIS. I guess my question is along the lines of lots of applications for this. Maybe you could give us just a little bit more of a vision of what else you can do besides go inside the TARDIS.
The one that I just happened to show you is the TV sets.
Sure.
So, they have Doctor Who, and they have, I think Law and Order is in there. There are a bunch of different, you know, TV sets that are in there. But it's not just that. You know, you can go to Gettysburg. They have downtown Philadelphia and Independence Hall. You can go to the Capitol Building. You can go to Washington Monument. You can go to different, you know, different locations throughout national parks.
Wow.
They have, you know, they have an underwater expedition, you know, where you're going through a coral reef. You can go up into space, and they have, you know, they have the International Space Station, and they have the moon, and, you know, just all of these different kinds of places that you can go that, you know, wouldn't be accessible. Machu Picchu, you know, just all of these different locations that are in there. And then, you know, and it just becomes a guided kind of a thing. You know, you tap on the little icon and you bring up, hey, okay, here's some notes, you know, and then wow. That's an opportunity to kind of include that into the way that you're doing your curriculum and the lesson that you're teaching. The other thing that's really powerful with this is it's not built into it yet, but they're working on it, where teachers and students can build their own tours. So, you know, maybe it's a virtual reality tour of your school or your town, or, you know, and then this becomes maybe an alternative to doing a report. So, you know, there are lots of different ways that this kind of thing could be used in a classroom. Besides just the cool factor of, hey, you know, we get to use our phones to, you know, move our head around and look at the TARDIS. There's a lot more that can be done with it too.
Sure. I'm sure that moving your head around and looking at the TARDIS would go a really long way for many people. Probably many of our Wells Tech listeners. That would be cold, you know, but
that's what I hear.
Cool stuff. And it really is an immersive experience. It really feels like you're there and could reach out and touch the things around you. So that is very, very neat. Thanks for demoing that for us. I should move on then with my pick of the week, totally changing gears. My pick of the week is something that we've talked about in the past on Wells Tech as well, but I didn't look back. I'm guessing it might have been 4 or 5 years ago since we've mentioned LibriVox.org. LibriVox came up again in my life recently because I had some time to do some traveling. And you know, Jason, when you live in New Ulm, which is a very small town, and you work out of your home, which means you never have to commute anywhere, even in this small town, you don't do much driving in the car to have a chance to listen to audiobooks. So I had that experience recently, did some driving around the Easter holidays and things, and looked for a good book on tape without spending any money. I headed over to LibriVox, where there are audio recordings of free public domain books. So totally powered by volunteers, you can go there and search on different categories, or you can volunteer to read books. I searched in the comedy category and I found a book by an author I've listened to before, P.G. Wodehouse. I don't know if you've ever heard of P.G. Wodehouse. He's an Englishman who eventually immigrated to America, I believe, and lived from the late 1800s through 1975, and has over 30 stories out here on LibriVox at this point. Very prolific writer and such fun books. The one I listened to was called Something New, and it's just this hilarious story about many, many mishaps related to these English people. So kind of almost tied in a little bit to the Downton Abbey kind of craze where there were maidservants and butlers and valets. So, you know, you have a little bit more vision of that now that so many people have watched Downton Abbey and things, but just a really funny book. And a whole line of books, a whole series that he wrote with around this Earl of Elmsworth and Blandings Castle where this book is set. So this is just one of many about the Earl and the goings-on at his crazy castle. But there's another series that Wodehouse wrote about Jeeves, the butler, and there's all kinds of Jeeves books, and Jeeves is just, he knows all. You just can't deny that Jeeves is the man to keep things straight in the life of, I think the character's name is Bertram Woodster or something like that. Anyway, fun books. You can find a whole collection of them out on LibriVox. Like I said, there's 30 titles of his recorded, and that's just a drop in the bucket of the kind of things you can find on LibriVox. So if you're looking for some good audiobooks, they have mobile phone apps for iOS and Android. And I even found a very robust YouTube channel, which is kind of odd, but the audio recordings have been turned into video recordings as well. There's no imagery to speak of besides the cover of the book, but if you prefer to listen to things through YouTube, you can find the audiobooks there as well. So all kinds of options for you. I'll have a link in the show notes to LibriVox and to Something New, which was highly recommended. Lots of fun comedy for listening to in audio format. So
very fun.
Yeah. All right. We should wrap things up pretty quickly. We do have a ministry resource this week. We will be featuring a video from our friend, Wells Tech listener, Missionary Mike Hartman. Hi, Missionary Hartman and Rachel, his lovely wife. They serve down in Mexico, and they're involved with this really budding effort called Academia Christo. Just recently had its first birthday, and in that time have grown from nothing to, I think, 220,000 Facebook followers and amazing numbers of downloads of video resources and Bible teaching resources and things. So you'll want to catch up on all the happenings and how they're using technology to just reach so many people in the Latin American world. And this short video gives you an update on all those things happening through our Latin American missionary team. So check that out. We'll actually have the video on the show notes. And that's not the only video we're going to have there. We'll also have a video related our pick of the our discussion topic of the week, the first robotics competition, just kind of an overview of the competition. So we've got a video from Jason of the winning team, and we'll make sure and include that in the show notes. But make sure you watch this overview as well. It's only about 4 minutes long, and I just challenge you to watch it and not be totally motivated to go join a team, because it looks like just so much fun and great opportunities for students. So that's our video of the week.
Excellent.
Yeah. And that really brings us to the end of the show. I think it would be important to remind you that we have a website, wellstech.wells.net. And if you head over to wellstech.wells.net, you can give us your feedback with all different social media channels available there. There's a link to send us an email at wellstech@wells.net, or even leave us a voicemail. So this show is definitely powered by our listeners, and we depend on you to share your great ideas with us. So please do join the conversation. Tell us about what's going on in your school setting or your church setting, and new ideas and things that are making an impact on your ministry efforts. We will be back again next week. We're hoping Martin decides to come back from vacation and join me next week for Wells Tech 439, and we will be talking about personal productivity. That's kind of one of our topics we've visited off and on throughout the history of Wells Tech, and there's always new things to learn, and also kind of recommitting yourself to some different standards and things that you might want to try for. So a great topic to revisit, and we're looking forward to it. Martin often speaks on the topic, and so he'll have some new things to share from his speaking engagements and things like that. So tune in next week. The show should be available for download next Wednesday, and I don't have the date in front of me, but whatever that is, it's April. And I don't have the date, so trust me, it'll be there.
It'll be there.
Yeah. And Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and God bless your efforts to move in and settle in your new home, and keep that robotic stuff going live there at Bennington ISD. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure and lots of fun to be on here, so I appreciate it.
All right. All right. We'll see you next week on Wells Tech.